Well, it's a new year, and you know, every year, the last few years, as I'm closing out a year and I'm reading through the word and I'm praying, the last few years, God has given me a specific word for the church heading into the new year. It's not something that I'm going looking for, like I got to come up with something, but the last 3 years, God has given me something pretty clear. And a couple years ago, if you guys don't remember, it was draw near. It was about how we need to really focus on drawing near to God above everything else, and how timely was that word, because it was just a few months later that COVID hit and everything was shut down and we were all caused to be separated from one another for a pretty lengthy period of time. It was a real test of the faith, like, are you drawing near to God because you need that? Well, last year, the word was get connected. And when you think about getting connected, it also was timely because we were coming off of this period where people had been separated for so long, and many of us got used to being separated for so long. So it was get connected, first to Christ, but also to one another. And this year, the word that God has given me for Connection Church is to, it's just by faith. That's just the word, by faith. Everything by faith. And when you think about last year, right, we had a pretty strange 2021 on the heels of a pretty strange 2020, and we have no certainty that 2022 is going to be normal. I don't know if you guys are still hanging on for normal, but I've heard many people say over and over that it will never be normal again, right? It's kind of like you got, you know, we've had some things happen that have impacted our lives in a way that we don't know what this year is going to be. We don't even know if this year is going to be easy, let alone normal. But what we do know, we have some certainty. We know that Jesus is amazing. Amen? We know that. That's a certainty. We know that the Holy Spirit is with us. Praise God for that. So we know these things. And there's one thing that no matter what 2022 brings, no matter what comes before us this year, we have one thing that we can do because Jesus is amazing, because the Spirit is with us, is that we can choose to do everything by faith. We can choose that faith will be the foundation and the bedrock of everything that we do. Faith, if you look up the definition for faith, it says it's the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So if we're going to do everything by faith, and this means everything that we set out to do this year, we're going to do it with trust in the Lord and with confidence in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, confidence in the Lord. The definition actually says complete. Is anybody there yet? Complete confidence, complete trust. That's the goal. That's where we want to be. And I think that many times we think like, well, my faith is, you know, it's good, right? If most of us in here, we'd say our faith is good. Sometimes we say my faith is a little weak. Maybe it's not as good as it should be, but I'm doing all right. And I want to encourage you this morning to come before the Lord like the first apostles did. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Right? They weren't happy with just the minimum, with just this little bit of faith that everybody's given a measure of. They weren't just happy with that, but they're like, Lord, increase our faith. How great would it be? Who in this place would like for God to increase their faith this year? I would love that. Like, Lord, increase my faith, please. I'll take that every day of the week. And the more I thought about this, I thought, I don't really know how much sense this request makes. Lord, increase my faith. We're asking God to increase our confidence in Him. We're asking God to increase how much I trust in Him. Can I tell you that He's already faithful and true? Like, He's already faithful and true. He can't become more faithful. He can't become more true. You know, He's already holy and just. He can't be more holy. He can't be more just. Do you know that He's loving and He's good? God can't be any more loving than he already is toward us, and he can't be any more good than he already is. What more can a perfect God do to increase our faith in him? What more can he do to increase our faith in him? And so the New Living Translation, I like the way it says this verse because I feel like it's a more appropriate way to come before him. And with this request, it says, the apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. See, we like the other version better, if we're being honest. Lord, increase my faith. You do the work, whatever needs to happen for my faith to be better. But the real question is this. Are we willing to let the Lord show us how we actually can increase our faith this year? That's the challenge for us, is can we trust Christ more? Can we have more confidence in him than we ever have before until these things are complete, without doubt, without fault? Lord, will you show us how to increase our faith? Can I tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit is not a genie that grants wishes? He's the Spirit who guides us. Amen? See, the first one, when we say, Lord, increase my faith, we're asking for a genie to grant a wish, right? Lord, will you do this for me? But when we say, Lord, will you show me how to increase my faith? Now we're submitting to the Spirit who guides us. He will show us how. And when we think about this faith that we're all given a measure of, we're all given this measure of faith, we have to exercise that faith to increase that faith. But all too often we limit our faith to just one thing, salvation. And that's a great thing. That's a good thing. We need that saving faith because it's the foundation of all faith. It's the main thing. But if that's the extent, if that's the limit of how we exercise our faith, I want to tell you we're missing out on some of the greatest benefits of this wonderful gift of faith that God has given us. Ephesians 2:8, you all know this verse probably, but for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not only is salvation the primary way we exercise our faith, but it's the first way. It's the first way that you exercise your faith is by placing it in Jesus Christ. You've got to place your faith in Christ to be saved, amen? You have to. It's a requirement to be saved. You have to believe in your heart, not just in your mind. You have to truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he's given his life for you. You have to believe that. That's the way we exercise our faith. It's our starting point. But after you find this faith, after you exercise it in this way, then you begin to understand the limitlessness of faith and what can be done by it. Listen, I'm not normally a prop guy, but I have something today. Who knows what this is? How many guys know what this is? Like, most of the guys. How many girls know what this is? A couple? All right. This is I like to go with speed square, okay? Some people can call it like a rafter square. Some people that really don't know what they're talking about just call it a triangle, okay? But anybody who really knows what it is would be like, dude, it's not a triangle, right? It's a square of some sort of speed square. Now, most people, when they get a speed square, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the best tools. This is one of the greatest tools that a guy can have, right? I mean, this tool right here. If you get one of these, when you first get it, you usually get it for one reason. And it's just to simply do this. Draw a line. And that's a great way to draw a line, because I'll tell you what, if I just grab it and I just draw a line, that's not very straight. Even if I'm being really careful, right? The wood's rough, it's going to go back and forth. But if you use this thing, man, you can get a straight line every time, no matter what, okay? As long as your wood's square, okay? But, so here's the thing. That's what most people use a speed square for, to draw that line to then cut that piece of wood, right? And I'm going to tell you something. That is a great, great, great use of this tool. In fact, I would say it's probably the primary thing that people use it for. There's some people that that's all they use it for, and pretty much everybody starts right there. You're not, like, you know, you can make a circle, a perfect circle with this triangle. But I'll tell you what, that's not the first thing that you're going to do with it. You're not going to pick this thing up and make a perfect circle on a piece of wood. You're going to draw that straight line. That one thing to mark a straight line on a board that is square, that's a great use. But I'm going to tell you, if that's the only thing you use this for, it's still a great tool. It's still a very useful tool. But man, you are missing out on so many other things that can make your life easier if you do any kind of construction or building with wood. Amen? Okay, so when you think about this tool, how many people know two things you can do with this tool? Now, come on. Some of you guys are lying. How many of you guys know three things you can do with this tool? Four things. Five things. Dustin knows like 10 things, but he thinks I'm going to call him up here and do a demonstration, which I was going to, but I don't really have that much time. Okay, you can draw angled lines with this tool. It's pretty great. 45 degree angle. See that? Look at this. Bam. 45 degree angle. I can't do the other demonstrations because I can't show you, but you can rip long lines. You can put your pencil in this little groove right here and move this square down, and it'll make a line this way on the piece of wood, so you can rip it. You can draw circles with it. You can measure angles for rafters with it. You can find a roof pitch with a speed square. You can do all kinds of things with a speed square. But most people limit themselves to drawing a straight line with a speed square and cutting it and then hanging it back on the garage wall. Again, it's still a great use of the speed square. There's nothing wrong with that. But you are taking this amazing tool and you are really limiting what you are able to do with that tool. I want to tell you this morning that in the same way, a lot of people do the same thing with faith. Faith is an amazing thing that you can do so much with, but many people use it for that one use, to be saved. And it's a great thing, and if that's all you use it for, it's still very great, very useful. But man, there's so much more if you would unpack your faith and figure out all the ways that you can use it. We need to trust Christ in every way, have confidence in him in everything. See, faith is never meant to be a one-time experience. Faith was never meant to just be this one thing we do one time, because the same faith that saves us is the faith that carries us from day to day to day as we go through this journey, all the way through this life and to the next with Jesus Christ. The whole Christian life is a life of faith. Amen? We are saved by faith. We are kept by faith. We walk by faith. We endure by faith. We rejoice by faith. We serve by faith. We love by faith. Sacrifice by faith. We pray by faith. We worship by faith. And we obey by faith. Everything by faith. And when you look in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we see this list of men and women. And we often refer to this as the Hall of Faith. If you've never heard that, that's a pretty common thing. Is chapter 11 of Hebrews is the Hall of Faith. These heroes of the Old Testament, they're listed one after another, and at least in New King James Version that I typically read, each section starts with two words, by faith, right? By faith, Abraham. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abel, right? It lists all of these things that they have done. These people accomplished amazing things, tremendous things. And we know the names of these people for a reason. We tell the stories of these people for a reason. And that reason is the things that they did were so amazing. They stood out so much from what everybody else did that they made this impression on the history of our faith. But the thing is, this chapter, if you really dig into it, it's not so much about what these people did. It's more about how they did it. And it's because they did it by faith. These men and women in this chapter of the Bible, these men and women are heroes of the faith. They're people we look up to. We tell our kids these stories, these Bible stories. But let me tell you that these men and women did these great things by faith. But do you know that they're men and women just like you and me? They're men and women just like you and me. Just let that sink in. They're human, okay? They weren't superhuman. Some of the stories seem like it. If I could be Elijah and outrun a chariot of horses, I mean, that seems superhuman. That's like something you'd see in a movie, right? Like, if you saw someone outrunning a car down Route 40, nobody would believe you. You'd be like, no, for real, it was Dustin Chandler. Like, he just ran past all the cars. He was speeding, actually, and he should have got a ticket. But we think about these things like they're so wild that they couldn't really be true, but these are just men and women like you and me who exercise their faith in extraordinary ways. They did it by faith. When you think about by faith, there's a reason why both of those words are important. By faith, when you think about the word by, it's a preposition, right? So it's before a noun, and it's showing you the direction or the relationship to the faith. So in this case, when they do it by faith, it's telling you that that's the means which the thing they did happened. It was by the faith. It was because of the faith. It was due to the faith. This means that without faith, they would not have been able to do it. It's important that we recognize that they had to do it only by faith. It's only because of their confidence in God, their trust in God, that they can do the things that we still read and talk about today. Faith is the key element here. And I'm telling you, church, when you think about the fact that faith is the focus of the chapter, how they did it, not what they did, it's because Jesus is still the star of this story through and through. Amen? He's still the star of the story from Genesis to Revelation. It's about Jesus Christ and him alone. And even when we start to read some things and start to think that something is about someone else, if you just drill down and dig deep enough, you'll find that somehow, some way, it's pointing us back to Jesus. And what I love about Hebrews 11 is Hebrews 11 completely dispels the lies that we tend to believe about great faith. Right, we think about these things, these great acts of faith, and we start to think about the fact that it's reserved for special people. Right, well, that's like certain people could have that kind of faith, could do those kind of things, but that's not everybody, and certainly not me, right? Like, I could never do something like that. And we may think our name could never be written in the Hall of Faith, right? If there's a Hall of Faith of Connection Church, I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't think my name's going to be up there. Like, I could see Bud's name being up there, right? I could see Crystal's name, but probably not mine. We start to think about other people and how great they are. I'm like, well, but I don't know about me. But this chapter in the Bible begins to unpack and show us that these people didn't have anything that you and I don't have. And in fact, I would tell you that we have much more than what they have, because we know the gospel. We know that Jesus came and died and rose from the dead, and that he's coming again. We know that he gave power and authority to the church. Amen? We have this great advantage over these people in the Hall of Faith. The difference is that these people were not afraid to step out and trust God. They weren't afraid to have the confidence that if God's leading me to do this, then you know what? Not I can handle it, but he can handle it. Somehow, some way, they had this confidence, this trust in him. Hebrews 11 starts with this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It's the substance. We think about substance. This is an unusual word to use in this context, but it means the essential nature of things. This word substance in the Greek, it was sometimes used to describe the foundation of a house. And outside the New Testament in writings, it was often used for the title deed to a piece of property. So it's like saying that faith is the title deed to the things in the future. Faith is the title deed to the things that we hope for. Faith is the title deed for the things that God has promised. It's the proof, the evidence that it belongs to you and to me. If God has promised it, it's for us. And it's this confident assurance that what we hope for will someday, somehow, come to pass. It says that it's the evidence. When we think about the evidence, this refers to legal proof in a courtroom. Faith is the proof. Proof to who? Proof to what? It's proof to our soul. It's proof to our soul that enables us to see things that we cannot see with the natural eye. By faith, we see things that would otherwise be invisible or impossible. So where is the breakdown? Where is the breakdown in our lives? Where is the breakdown why we only keep drawing this straight line over and over? That's it, and we're happy with it. Like, man, that is a good-looking line. Like, I can draw another one. And we think about our faith like this because we come back to the fact that, man, this faith is so great because I am saved. And hallelujah, it is great. Just like that is a great line. But here's the deal. How come we're satisfied just being there, just with the simple basics, and we don't push and strive and yearn for more? What is the breakdown in our lives? Do you know how the Bible tells us that we should be content, right? We're supposed to do that, right? We're supposed to find contentment. I think that we sometimes apply something that's not meant for our faith in a way that we use it for our faith. We're not supposed to be content in our faith. He's talking about the things of the world. He's talking about the natural side of things, that we need to find ourselves in this place where we can be content. Right, Paul goes on to tell us about how he had a lot and he had a little. He was shipwrecked and he's ate with kings. He's done all these things. And either way, no matter what life did, he found a place of contentment. He found that he could be satisfied no matter what. But I want to tell you this morning, when it comes to the spiritual, I think we need to find a measure of holy discontent. I think we need to find ourselves in this place where we can look in the mirror and we can say, you know what? In this world, in this life, I'm happy with what I have. But when it comes to my relationship with Jesus Christ and the way the Holy Spirit works in my life, what I have is not enough and I want more. Amen? We need to find ourselves in this place where we find this holy discontent. And here's why. This is important that you know why. You've got to want some things that you don't have to really exercise faith, because faith always deals in the things that are hoped for. You've got to want things that you don't have. I'm not talking about, a new car. I'm not talking about a different job. I'm talking about spiritually. If you don't want things that you don't have for the rest of your life, you're going to be stuck drawing these straight lines with your faith, and that's going to be the limits of it. But if I tell you what, some of you guys are probably intrigued by the fact that you can draw a circle with this. Some of you guys that don't know that might go look it up later and be like, I want to find out how you can draw a perfect circle with that thing. Terry's already it's on her bucket list for the day. Let me tell you what, we need to be intrigued about the spiritual things in those same ways. That it's like you hear about someone else, about their faith and about what they believe or what God has done in their life, and you need to start to think about, man, I'm curious about that. I'm not content with just being saved, living a peaceful life, and going to heaven one day, but I want more right here and right now. I want something that I don't have. I want something to hope for in the Spirit, because if you've got everything you need and desire, if all the promises of God have already come true, if we've reached this state of spiritual perfection, if all of our prayers have been answered in our lives, if all of our loved ones are saved and serving the Lord, if there's no lack anywhere in anything that we can see, then why do we need faith? Why would we need it? What would be the purpose of it? What left is there to hope for? But we know that we still need faith. Amen? Because we know that people still get cancer. We know that marriages still suffer hurts and pains and sometimes end. We know that children are hurt physically and emotionally in different ways. We know that people still pass away. We know that there's evil in our world. Therefore, we need faith because all the things that we've hoped for have not come to pass. So how do we do everything by faith? Got three things for you this morning, three tips. The first one is knowing that faith is not feeling, right? Faith is not feeling. It's a conscious choice that I'm going to believe what God said, no matter how I feel. It's not a feeling, it's a choice to believe what God said. We will never do everything by faith if we're doing everything by feelings. It's not possible. You won't feel like it. There are times where you won't. What if Moses, as he was sent before Pharaoh, time after time after time, what if each time he waited till he felt like going? You ever think about that? What if he waited? He did not want to be used by God, people. At least not in the way that he had to talk to people. That's what he told God. He's like, I don't talk very well, right? And so he sent Aaron with him for pretty much everything except going to talk to Pharaoh. Aaron went with him, but you know, Moses was still the one that had to go. And when you think about this, what if Moses waited until he felt like going? He would have never went. The people would have never been free. What if Joshua waited until he felt like walking around Jericho? I mean, I'm just saying, how many of you guys are like, dude, I ain't walking anywhere, right? I'm taking a car, like I'll drive, and like I'll do a prayer drive through town, but I sure ain't doing a prayer walk, right? I mean, what if he would have waited until he felt like walking? I don't think we picture, I don't have it in front of me right now, I don't remember, but how big that was and how far around he had to go, but we're talking miles and miles and miles by the time he was done. What if he waited till he felt like it? He would have never done it. The walls would have never come down. Feelings cannot be the basis of our faith. They just can't be. When you are believing for something, when you're waiting for results of a biopsy, or somebody's in the middle of surgery, or there's something big going on in your life, listen, you may not feel great about it. You may not have good feelings, but in that moment, church, you can consciously choose to believe that God is who he said he is and he will do what he said he would do. You can choose that, even when you don't feel like it, and you're probably going to have to make that choice 100 times over, even if you don't feel like it, over and over and over, because faith chooses, then it acts. And then, eventually, feelings will follow. They eventually will. The second thing we need to know is that faith acts even in the midst of doubt and opposition. If we wait until circumstances are in our favor, right, we're going to wait forever. I've heard this over and over and over about people that are going to do something with their life, but I need X, Y, and Z to all fall into place first. There's a reason why people are stuck in jobs that they've hated for 20 or 30 years, and they maybe end up retiring from that job because there was a moment in time where they're like, I'm going to change, but once this happens and once that happens. There are people, there are couples who wanted to have kids, and they're like, well, we want to have kids, but not right now. We're going to wait until all these things happen in our lives, and then we'll have kids. Then they try to have kids, and maybe they do have them, but they struggle to make it happen, or maybe it doesn't happen at all. There's so many things in our lives that never happen because we're waiting for the circumstances to change, be just perfect and just right. We would wait forever. What about David when he went to Goliath? When David went to defeat Goliath, he could have waited for the circumstances to change. But do you know that when he went out before that Philistine and when he decided he's going to stand up for God, do you know that he faced them face to face? Do you know that he didn't wait for Goliath to turn his back? He didn't pray for God like, please make him blind so he can't see where I'm at, so he can't harm me. He didn't ask for anything like that. He trusted God. That's what he did. He trusted God. That's faith. And then he went and confronted the giant. He went and confronted him. If he would have waited for doubts to disappear, he could have waited forever. There's this quote that I've heard a couple of times. I don't know who said it, but it's faith is belief plus unbelief and acting on the belief part, right? Faith is that we have this element of belief, but we also have this element of unbelief, but we choose to act on the belief part. We choose to have confidence and trust in God. And sooner or later, we all have to act on the belief part. Abraham did it. We see that Samuel did it. We see all these heroes of the faith. They all had to act on the belief part. And you and I do too. And the third thing is that faith sees what others do not see. You know, there's a lot of things, somebody can testify, there's a lot of things in life that don't make sense. A lot of things in life that don't make sense. There's a lot of things that don't work out the way that you and I think that they should. A lot of things. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of questions. Man, I tell you what, one of the worst things about youth group is like there's a lot of times they have questions where I'm like, I don't know. Like I can explain it to you, but it's going to take more time than we got right now. And I know, but I don't know. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of things that are like that in our lives where it's like I know it, but at the same time, I don't really know it. And I have questions too about the same things that you do. Maybe I have more understanding in some areas. Maybe you have more understanding in some areas. But at the end of the day, we all pretty much have the same questions. And some people struggle with the fact that faith doesn't answer all of our questions. Because again, if it did, do we still need it? If it answered every question? Philip Yancey said, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. It means believing in advance for something that will only make sense in reverse. That basically means when you get the answer down the road, you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to see, oh, yeah, I can see how that happened. I can see where that makes sense. But right now, looking forward, it doesn't look like it makes any sense at all. By faith, we see things that are invisible to others. And by faith, we believe in advance those things that right now, they make no sense, but one day they will make perfect sense when we are able to look back and reverse and see how it was done. By faith. Everybody say, by faith. Now say it like you mean it. By faith. By faith. It's always amazing how much better it is the second time when you ask somebody to say something. But by faith, this right here is what the Spirit is calling us to do in 2022. By faith. Everything. By faith, no matter what, by faith. And I want to wrap this up by clarifying one thing. Listen, it's not faith in faith. It's not faith in your ability to trust or to have confidence. It's strictly faith in Christ. Because listen, faith can never be greater than the object the faith is in. And therefore, when we think about our faith being in Christ, my faith is never greater than Christ himself. However much I believe, however much I trust, however much confidence I have, listen, that's not kudos to me. It's thank you, Holy Spirit, because I know that it all takes me back to Jesus Christ, and without him, I'm nothing. Without him, my faith is nothing. Our call is to follow him. Our call is to go where the Spirit leads us, to take the next step that he directs. And listen, it's often without knowing the rest of the plan. It takes faith, by faith. And in the same way that we see through Hebrews 11, I just want to encourage you to check that out this afternoon. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. I want to encourage you today that we would let this journey of faith continue through our lives, that we could be those who are listed in these heroes of faith that completely trusted in God, that completely had confidence in God. One day I want to be able to look back and I want to say, by faith, Carlos, and list the things that he did. I want to say, by faith, Jim, and list the things that he did. By faith, Henrietta, I want to list the things that she did. I want to be able to look back and say, by faith, look at the amazing things that were done, not because these people were great, but because Jesus is great, and all they did was trust in him and have confidence in him and take the boldness to step out where other people wouldn't step out. They chose to see things that other people would not see. I believe the only way that happens is if we are the people that can rise up and find some level of holy discontent and say that I'm not just satisfied being saved. I'm not just satisfied coming to church on a Sunday morning. I'm not just satisfied with the bare minimum of knowing the little bit about faith, but I want more today. Would you stand with me? Faith believes what others do not. I already said it sees what others do not see, but it also does what others dare not do. There's this story in Mark. This man that has a mute child. This mute child has convulsions or seizures, and they're like, it even has thrown him into the fire before, right? And this man comes before Jesus and wants his child to be healed. And I love it because as Jesus ministers to this child, he says something to the dad. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. What does he tie what he's getting ready to do in this child's life back to? Faith. He ties it back to faith. Jesus is like, I can, I'm willing, and I'm gonna do what no one else can do, but I want to tell you, sir, that if you can believe, that all things are possible to him who believes. And this father, this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, the father says, immediately the father of the child cried out and with tears. I'm going to tell you, he found a place of holy discontent right here. He found this place of holy discontent and he said, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. But here's the holy discontent. Help my unbelief. Right, Lord, I believe. I believe in you. But help my unbelief, all these other areas where I still fall short. This is this man saying that, Lord, I believe in you, but I want more. I believe in you, but by faith, I want more. I need more. Something's got to shift. Something's got to change in my life. This wasn't just a cry for his son to be healed, because that was getting ready to happen no matter what. But I want to tell you, he found this place of holy discontent. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so this morning, as this word is for you and it's for me for 2022, that by faith, I'm going to put out a call this morning that by faith, if you believe that this is for you, if you receive that this is for you, that by faith, I'm asking you to begin to step forward before the Lord, that as you come to the altar, you're making a declaration with me, with the worship team, that we're making this declaration that I choose this year that I will live by faith. That I will choose to have some kind of holy discontent. That I will say, Lord, what I have is not enough, but I want more. I need more. I desire more. Lord, that I just can't live with being able to draw these straight lines anymore, but show me how this powerful, mountain-moving, life-changing faith, show me, Lord, how I can use it to the fullest potential, that I can use all that it has. And Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. As we worship you, Lord God, we thank you for those that stepped to this altar this morning, that they say, Lord, I choose to live by faith. Lord, I choose that everything I do will be by faith in a world of uncertainty, in a world of where a virus has ravaged people's thoughts and minds, where it has taken over the news cycle, Lord, that today we choose that we will live by faith, that we will be the people that will rise up, will say, Lord, we want more, we're not content with what we have, Lord, we are overcomers, we are the church that has been given all authority on heaven and earth. You receive that from the work you did on the cross, and you said, here, church, it's yours, now walk in it. We're going back to the roots of Adam, where your word tells us that we are to have dominion over the earth. We are to subdue it. We are to control. We are to be the ones that are shifting and moving things in the atmosphere, that right now we choose that by faith, Lord, by faith we will overcome. Lord, that by faith we will continue to stand. That by faith we will continue to seek your face, Lord, when the world is coming against you. Lord, when the world stands against the word of God, Lord, that by faith we will continue to stand on the solid rock, the foundation that is Jesus Christ, the truth, Lord, that has no wavering. It's timeless. It's relevant, Lord, and right now today, Lord, your word transcends all of time. And so, Lord, we say that by faith, Lord, we'll stand for righteousness, but also that by faith, we will choose to love our neighbors. Lord, we'll choose to love those who don't look like us, who don't think like us, who don't act like us, and even don't want what we want, which is you. That we'll choose to love them. Lord, that we'll still be the vessels of God, that will show them the goodness of God, that will be carriers of grace and mercy. But Lord, that by faith, God, will be good witnesses to those around us. That by faith, Lord God, we will overcome the darkness in this world. Jesus, Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, and our faith is in you. Lord, you are the hope. You are the hope of the world. Lord, you're the hope of the church. But God, you use the church to show people the hope of the world. And so today, we say that by faith, we will stand. That by faith, 2022 is going to be a better year than 21 or 20, or 19 or 18 or 17 or 16, that it does not matter what the years of the past have looked like, because by faith, We are standing, we are hoping for something more, something better, something great. Lord, we hope that by faith that you return soon, that you return soon for your bride. But Lord, in the meantime, while we wait, we choose to do everything that we do by faith. And right now we worship you by faith. As we worship you with this song, Lord, we pray that you would release your spirit upon the men and women in this place. Lord, that by faith we would have hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. That by faith we would receive the fullness of your spirit, that your presence would be tangible, that we would feel your presence in this place, Lord, but that it would shift something in our lives. Lord, for those who struggle with faith, Lord, I pray that this would be a moment as we praise you, that you would help their unbelief. That you would help their unbelief, that you would silence the lies of the enemy, that the word of God would be elevated in our hearts and minds, that the spirit of God would begin to shift our thinking. Lord, help us to be positive thinkers, that we think positively, not about the things of the world, but that we remember that we think positively about the things of God because they are true. They're unchanging. That they're promises that are kept. They're never broken. And they belong to us, the children of God. And we worship you right now. Holy Spirit, will you have your way with us? In Jesus' name, let's worship in church.